got your Bible? Okay. You can turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. One of the great challenges that we face as Christians, born-again believers, is the challenge of allowing God's Spirit to work in us and not succumb to the inclinations of our senses. It's the battle between revelation faith and senses knowledge, right? And we have to bring our thoughts and our feelings and our intellect into subjection to God's Word, which means what? You have to know God's Word. And this is something that everybody has to face. This is something that everybody deals with. And just the way it is. So what do you have to do? Well, you have to put the Word in your brain, and then when things come up or you're challenged in certain ways, you have to make your mind think in harmony and alignment with what God says. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, the word of the Lord came unto me, unto Jeremiah, the prophet. You know, sometimes we look at these guys and we think, wow, what a great guy. I wish I could be like him. And yet, they're all like we are. They were all just the same as we are. They had the same worries. They had the same concerns. They had the same challenges. They had the same weaknesses and everything else that we have. So they had to deal with them, right? This is the beginning of, or in the early part of Jeremiah's life. It says, when the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. You see that on bumper stickers sometimes, don't you? It really doesn't pertain to everybody. It pertains to Jeremiah. Could it be true of us? I don't know. It doesn't say in the word it's true of us. But it does say it was true of Jeremiah. It says it was true of a couple other people. Obviously, God knew of Jesus Christ long before he was even in his mother's womb, right? Because from at least Genesis 3:15 onward, we know that Jesus Christ was promised. And there were other people that were promised. John the Baptist was foretold of, and a few other people. Well, so that's what it says here. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I adorned thee. Ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. How God did that, I don't know, but he did. You know, how did he know that Jeremiah would believe him? I guess he knew his DNA. You know, he knew in his foreknowledge what kind of man he would be and what he would believe. Does that mean that Jeremiah did not have free will? No, he still had free will. But he knew what his makeup was. He knew what kind of guy he was going to be. Then said I, ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. You know, Jeremiah said, what, are you kidding me, God? I can't do this. I can't be a prophet for you. I can't do this. Did you ever think that sometimes? I can't do that for a guy. Well, you probably can. You know, can't, as far as God's concerned, can't isn't in the vocabulary. It doesn't exist. It's not true. Verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Which is equal to, you know, he put his spirit upon him. You know, he could receive revelation and speak for God. Pretty amazing. But in verse 5 where he says, you know, or verse 6, he said, oh, Lord, I can't speak. I'm a child. That's a sense knowledge response, right? That's his sense knowledges. And God had to talk to him a little bit longer and bring his, you know, get him to think about what God was telling him. Had to convince him that this is what was going to be. This is what was true. Jeremiah had to trust God and change his mind. He had to believe that God would do what he told him to do. And if you go and read through the book of Jeremiah, he really had to trust God because he went through some pretty difficult situations and circumstances. But God called him, and Jeremiah trusted him and carried out the promises of God and the work that God gave him. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Look at Moses, another great man of God, a prophet. A very similar situation. Moses, you know, lives in Egypt, is raised in Pharaoh's household, and his daughter adopted him. He's raised up, but he knows he's a Hebrew. He knows he's an Israelite, and he kills an Egyptian for hurting one of his Israelites, brethren. And so then has to run away, and he runs away, and he's gone for 40 years, and he lives as a shepherd in the wilderness. And then God calls him back. You know, sees Mount Horeb. He sees the burning bush. Verse 9, it says, "Now, therefore, behold the cry of the children of Israel." This is God speaking to Moses. "Behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Again, a very sense knowledge reaction, right? And you could understand it because he had run away and he had been wanted for murder. But 40 years have passed, and the Pharaoh that was alive when he was there has died, and, you know, so on. And, you know, so he argues with God. And God says in verse 12, "And he said, certainly I will be with thee." Do we hear something like that today in our manifestations when God spoke to us? Yeah. "I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." He gave him a token. He said, when you do this, then you'll serve God. You know, he would go back up on that mountain and God would give him directions, right? Gave him the tablets. He saw the finger of God write the Ten Commandments in stone. That would be pretty bizarre, huh? But, you know, we have a token too, don't we? A token of what God tells us is true, and that's that we have Holy Spirit and we can speak in tongues. And every time we speak in tongues, that is an affirmation. That is a proof that all that God has told us is true. You know, that we are born again, that we have Holy Spirit, that we have eternal life, that we will be gathered together, you know, that God will bring his promises to pass in our lives. What a great thing. So here we have two similar situations where God called a man to a new way of life. Called him to a new way of life, right? You're going along, you're an average guy, an average Joe, you know. Moses was a shepherd. I'm not sure what Jeremiah was. But all of a sudden, God says, okay, now you're going to be a prophet. Ooh, hold on. You know, what if President Trump called you up today and said, you're going to be an ambassador for me? That'd be a pretty drastic change, wouldn't it? Somebody called you up and said, you know, we've got these long-lost records, and we found out that you're of royal blood, and you come back to our country, and we're going to make you king or queen. That'd be shocking, wouldn't it? You think it would be cool? My wife and I have been watching The Crown. You know, life, you know, people complain that life is not fair. I would hate to be a prince or a princess or a king. They get up in the morning, you know, as soon as they get up, there's somebody there and they dress them. And they say, okay, here's your schedule for the day. At 8 o'clock, you meet this person. At 9 o'clock, you meet this person. Then you're going here. Then you're going there. Then you have lunch with these people. And then you go here. And then at 4, you're going to have tea with this ambassador. And then at 7:30, we have a formal dinner. And then, you know, and every day is like that. You have no freedom at all. That's a drastic change of life. You know, with God, when he asks you to change your life, he's going to bless you. You know, and if you do as he asks, you're going to see great things happen. And you're going to have even more freedom, not less freedom. So what's the lesson here? Well, obviously, Jeremiah went on to be a great man of God. Moses went on to be a great man of God. And so the lesson is, you know, we need to respond as they responded. We need to decide to listen to God and obey him as they did. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because we as born-again believers, we have the Holy Spirit within us. We have more than they had. We have greater access to God than they have. We have greater assurance than they had. We have greater promises than they had. Amazing. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. So what do we need to do? We need to simply decide to listen, decide to obey, and decide to trust in him. You know, and we're all the same in the respect of this. We all have the same loving Father. We all have the same promises. We all have the same Holy Spirit. We all have the same hope. We all have the same ability to believe God. And God is no respecter of persons, is he? So if you believe, and I believe, we're going to get the same kind of results, aren't we? I'm not going to get better results than you are. You're not going to get better results than I am. You know, if I believe God and obey God, I'm going to see the same thing. If you believe God and obey God, you're going to see the same thing. Chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you." Every man is who? Everybody. Speaking to the believers in Rome, but it's written to the church, so to everybody. It's written to everybody. "Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." That should be a parenthesis, and it's a figure of speech. And it means you're not to think out of bounds or outside what the word says, but you're to think what the word says. So, you know, when I think that I can do it on my own, or, you know, I build a business and I think, wow, I did that all on my own, or, you know, I raised my family and I did such a great job. You know, if I don't have God in it, I didn't do such a good job and I didn't really do it on my own. And if I recognize how God has blessed my life, he's going to enrich me even more. But we are to think in terms of what God has done for us, what he's put within us. And then it says, "But think soberly," or soundly, wisely, "according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith," or the foundation of believing. We're to think those thoughts which are godly thoughts. We're to think what God's word says about us. So what does God's word say about us? Well, he calls us his beloved, doesn't he? How many times did he call us his beloved? Many times. We're to think soberly according as God. You know, and it says here, "according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Whenever you see the word "according as God" or "according to God," this phrase sets the standard, and it's God's standard. It's what it's talking about. The standard is that he has given us the measure of faith. And the word, it says here, he has dealt to every man. It means he's measured out the measure of faith. And every one of us has what? the same amount. We have all the same. Now, are we all going to do the same? No, we're not. We're not all going to do the same. But we all have the same. You know, it's like if we all received an inheritance of $100,000. Well, we all do the same with the money. Some of us would really waste it, and some of us would end up much richer because we'd probably be wise with how we invested it or used it. And others would do nothing with it, probably. You know, we'd all do something different. We'd all have different needs. We all have different desires. But we would all have the same. Well, we all have the measure of faith. We all have the measure of what God has given us, that foundation of believing upon Jesus Christ. We all have the same abilities. We all have the same rights and privileges. We all stand before God righteous and sanctified before him. We all have the same. We all have the same promises. We all have the same hope. We're all going to be gathered together, or we're all going to be changed in a moment of time. It's the standard. You know, it used to be the standard would be the benchmark, right? The benchmark or the criteria. It's authoritative. That's it. That's God's standard, and that's what it is. It is the absolute authority in all things, and God's authority is that he has given us the measure of faith. So we are to think according to God's standard, right? We're to think according to God's standard. We're to think that we are sons of God, that we all have all that he's promised us, that we are all he says we are. How many of you wake up every morning and say, wow, I'm beloved of God, and I have all things in Christ Jesus, and I can do all things through Christ Jesus, and I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings? What a great way to wake up. Let's go to chapter 8. Chapter 8, verse 28. It says, and we know that all things, how many things? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Again, there's that according. What's the standard? His purpose. We're not called according to our purpose. You know, sometimes we think that, but it's his purpose. We were called according to his purpose. And all things work together for good to them that love him. For whom he, God, did foreknow, he also did predestinate or foreordain to be conformed to the image of his son. Who was his son? Jesus Christ. So we're conformed to his image. We have God's seed within us, don't we? We're his children. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate or foreordain, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Did you ever think about yourself as being glorified? It's pretty great. That means you're shiny and bright. Where am I? Okay, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You know, whenever you come up against something negative, something contrary, something not right, if God be for us, who can be against us? Is not God the one that is able to deliver to the uttermost? Yes, he is. Who shall lay, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's a question. That question requires no answer, does it? Because it's absolutely, totally, completely obvious. If God was willing to give his son for us, why would he not freely give us all things? All things being all things that he has made available and promised to us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall accuse us of anything? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know who the worst is at condemning us? Us. You know, we condemn ourselves more than anybody else. Now, you know, the devil certainly would attempt to try to influence you to do that, wouldn't he? And make you feel like you're not worthy and make you... But, you know, that it's again, it's that sense knowledge stuff, isn't it? Is those feelings and intellect and everything else. You know, if you looked at the vastness of the universe, you'd think, wow, I'm nothing but a speck of dust. Right? Except that's not what God says. God says that he made the whole universe for our solar system and the whole solar system for the earth and the earth for us. And we're to live with dominion and authority in this life. That's what we're to do. That's how we are to live. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. It's such a challenge, isn't it? It's such a challenge to bring your mind, your heart, your brain, your feelings, your intellect into harmony with God's word. God says you're my beloved. God says you're my children. God says you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. God says he'll do all things for us. God says that his peace, his rest is available to us, that he is the God of all comfort. You know, and we have his comfort available to us. And yet at times, what do? We get anxious. We get worried. We get frantic. We panic. We fear. We doubt. You know, and God says, don't do that. We don't need to do that. So what are we supposed to do? Well, we have to bring our minds, our thoughts, in alignment and harmony with God's word. Chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. We have all spiritual blessings. How many more could you ask for? Well, you can't, because you got them all. And you know what? Nobody has any less than anybody else. Everybody has the same blessings. It's pretty great. Let's go to verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, your believing in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is really God's prayer for us. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. He wants us to be knowledgeable. He wants us to be wise. The eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart, being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the, you know, if you were one of Donald Trump's kids, what kind of attitude would you have as you walked around in life? I mean, besides the fact that he's the president, he's a billionaire, right? A multi-billionaire. How do his kids live? You know, they're pretty confident they can pay the rent. They're pretty confident that they are going to eat a good meal and that they'll have nice clothes to wear. You know, well, how should we walk around? We have, what does God say here? The hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What's our inheritance? Our inheritance is the power of God in our lives and the hope of the return of Jesus Christ and eternal life. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So what does this tell us? It says that we are filled with the fullness of God in Christ. Right? We're filled with all the fullness of God. How much fuller can you get? You can't get any fuller, can you? What a great thing. You know, in the Old Testament, God promised Moses that he would lead the children into the promised land. When God spoke to Jeremiah, he promised Jeremiah that he would deliver the people from bondage if they would obey him. Now, they didn't obey Jeremiah, did they? But if they had, he would have delivered them. But to all of us, we are already delivered, aren't we? We already have all the promises. We already have been given all that God has to give. We can take that same greatness of what we have and we can bring it to the unbeliever or to the ignorant. Because, you know, there are a lot of Christians out there that don't know this and don't believe it. So they're ignorant, aren't they? So when you're ignorant, you know, if you had $1 million in the bank and you were ignorant of it, it wouldn't do you any good, would it? And so all these great promises, all these great things that we have, if you're not aware of it, if you don't know about it, doesn't do you any good. Let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 19. It says, and to know, this again is a prayer for us. It says that God wants us to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. He wants us to know. He wants us to know the love of Christ and be filled to overflowing with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. So when you ask him for something, he'll give it to you if you believe, right? But then what can he do? He can go beyond that, can he? He can give us even more than we ask for. You asked for something the other day. He did it right for you right away. Can't think right now. But you said to me, look at that. We prayed for that.
Oh, I prayed that when I worked, I would.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. She's on her way to clean a house. And
I can't hear you back here.
Stella was on her way to clean a house on Friday. And on the way, she said, she prayed and said, give her a little more, give her a bonus. And she gave her double. That's pretty quick. She didn't ask for double. Actually, when she got there, the lady had $40 for you, right? But then when she was ready to leave, she said, you really worked hard today. And she gave her double. Really cool. Okay. That's God. Right? That's just God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. What a great God. Chapter 4, verse 2, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You know, God's given us all these promises, but he has called us to be his children. He's called us to be his ambassadors. He's called us to be his witnesses. And so we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. To walk worthy requires that we have, well, what does it say? With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. So to walk worthy, it requires that we love, we endure, we are humble, and we persevere. Yeah, that's what it requires. Not hard. It's easy. The first step in the walk with God is deciding to live according to God's standard. That is the and that's an ongoing process. You know, you have to make decisions every day, don't you? Every day you're confronted with new circumstances, new situations. And so every day you have an ongoing situation where you have to decide to live according to God's word. It's an ongoing process. And that the standard for us, the gold standard, is the standard of God. That's the standard we are to live by. We've been called to glory, and we can live a glorious life with all the fullness that we've been filled with, which is the fullness of God. So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for blessing us, for keeping us blessed and happy, and that you can just teach us and show us more and more how we can hold fast to your word, how we can decide every day and every moment of the day to walk for you and walk in love and with boldness and confidence that you are the mightiest God and that you've called us to your glory and that we can walk in your love and your grace. We thank you for this in the great and wonderful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.